Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's the Better Business Bureau Show with Caitlin Driscoll here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net. Good morning and welcome to the Better Business Bureau Show on Westmoreland Saturday Morning on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX. This is gold.net and the iHeartRadio app featuring Caitlin Driscoll, Public Relations Director, Better Business Bureau of Western PA. Caitlin, good morning. Hard to believe we are in September and the fall is upon us.
Good morning. It definitely seems like this year it has just been flying by now. It's crazy to believe we're already in fall.
I know. And today, what will we be discussing on the Better Business Bureau show?
Now we're at the end of summer, but September is also celebrated as being both Healthy Aging Month and National Preparedness Month. So didn't know if you know that.
I didn't.
As we prepare to transition into a new season, it's really an ideal time for older adults to focus on their financial well-being and put a plan into action to be a savvier consumer. And no matter your age, the Better Business Bureau recognizes that no one is immune to scams. However, sweepstakes, lottery and prize scams, investment scams, and vacation and timeshare fraud continue to be among the riskiest kinds of fraud for seniors. Additionally, in the most recent BBB Scam Tracker Risk Report, romance scams continue to be identified as the riskiest scams for people ages 55 through 64. But regardless of the type of scam, BBB really recommends specific precautions to take to avoid becoming a victim.
Yeah, as you said, you know, everyone's, you know, at risk for a scam, but really it seems like the elderly are, you know, the easiest targets, it seems like.
It can be the case for different kinds of fraud.
Yeah, so this is a very important topic today. So in general, Caitlin, are seniors more vulnerable to scams and financial loss to fraud?
Well, seniors ages 65 and over reported losing an average of $350 last year when falling victim to a scam. And this is more than double the loss across all age groups, which was $160. However, seniors 65 and older are actually the ones that are most likely to walk away from a scam and avoid financial loss than younger demographics. Mm. 1 in 4 seniors reported a loss this past year versus 1 in 3 across all ages. So they're less likely to actually fall for a scam, but when they do, they're losing more money.
Gotcha.
And scammers constantly change their tactics to try to catch people off guard, though. They tend to target seniors for, again, those specific kinds of scams, how I'd mentioned, just due to them being perceived by a scammer as being easier to persuade and generally having access to greater financial resources. We've also found that increased physical isolation makes people more likely to not only engage with, but lose money to scammers. So single, divorced, and recently widowed people are all at that higher risk of experiencing financial loss to scams.
Now, what are some of the main reasons that seniors and people in general tend to fall for scams?
And this is a common question that we get asked at the Better Business Bureau regarding the most believable components of a scam. We actually conducted a study on a national basis that asked people who had engaged with a scam what made them continue to correspond with the scammer. And we identified a few main reasons. So scammers use source credibility to seem legitimate. We all tend to be more trusting of authority figures and well-known popular brands. Scammers often co-opt household names to deceive targets. In fact, the top legitimate organizations used for impersonation by scammers are the Social Security Administration, Amazon, Publishers Clearing House, Apple, Microsoft, PayPal, Medicare, and Walmart. They also use high-pressure tactics because they don't want people to take the time to research a situation or do things like contact the Better Business Bureau to ask questions. And scammers persuade people to comply with their demands. So sometimes they're nice and appear to be your friend over time. Other times they use threats to try to get your attention. But some other top reasons shared for engaging with a scammer include just being worried about missing out on an opportunity, or because the person seemed to already know personal details about them, perhaps through data breaches or publicly available information on the internet, so it seemed even more credible. For example, a scammer may start off by asking you to confirm your full name, address, date of birth, and actually provide that information to you over the phone. But keep in mind that information can be found somewhat easily online.
The first scam you had mentioned as being one of the top riskiest for seniors was sweepstakes, lottery, and prize scams. How has the pandemic impacted seniors being targeted by this scam?
Well, BBB has found that sweepstakes and lottery scams resulted in higher financial losses during the COVID-19 pandemic compared to the previous 3 years, particularly for older people. The Federal Trade Commission has even reported logging an increase of more than 35% in reported dollar losses to these scams. But people over the age of 55 continue to be the primary target of sweepstakes, lottery, and prize scams. They represent 72% of fraud reports for this type of scam received by BBB Scam Tracker over the last 3 years. Of the older people who are targeted, 91% report that they lose money. Adults over 55 lose an average of $978, while those 18 to 54, as a comparison, lose an average of $279, according to our Scam Tracker reports. But the confinement and isolation that a lot of older people experienced during the pandemic may have helped to fuel this increase in losses. After profiling victims, scammers take any role, so a friend, authority figure, someone in need, to best work their crimes. And scammers often talk to victims every day, so they groom them and build trusting relationships. They take careful notes of the victim's family and other aspects of their lives. And like romance frauds, they try to isolate victims from their traditional support structure. Scammers also employ different voices, sounding authoritative at one point, speaking as a partner at others, or even acting as a supplicant, asking for help to make the prize finally appear. But other factors that may contribute to some older people's particular vulnerability include mental decline and relative financial stability. However, it is important to note that recent interviews we've done with repeat victims of sweepstakes scams have found few of them to be that stereotypical kind of frail shut-in that a lot of people tend to envision. Instead, the victims interviewed were ordinary people who were more interested in using that badge and winnings to help their families or communities instead of spending it on themselves. So they may believe the winnings will enhance their role in the family, as well as the ability to financially help their younger relatives. And it might feel good to be financially helpful again, especially if this was their former primary role in the family.
Now, how do sweepstakes and lottery scams reach their victims?
Well, according to Scam Tracker data, sweepstakes scammers reach out through a variety of channels. So phone call, email, social media, notices in the mail, and text messages. They may impersonate well-known sweepstakes such as Publishers Clearing House or a state lottery. The winner is told to pay taxes or fees before the prize can be awarded. And people increasingly are now being asked to buy gift cards to pay these fees. But they also may be asked to pay via wire transfer or bank deposit into a specified account, or even cash sent by mail. The prize never exists, something victims never realize before paying, in some cases, thousands of dollars that can't be recouped. However, the harm suffered by lottery fraud victims can far exceed the loss of that money. In addition, repeat victims may have difficulty ending their involvement in a lottery scam, and they may even become money mules who receive and forward money from other lottery fraud victims.
Now, what does it mean to become a money mule?
Well, lottery scammers also often use victims as money mules to receive money paid by other victims and then transfer the money to the scammers. And this makes it harder to trace victim funds and find the actual scammer. Some victims do this without realizing that the money is coming from other fraud victims. Others may believe that this is a way to recover some of the funds that they've lost. Still, others may become mules because of threats from the scammers. So one Pennsylvania woman had reported losing at least $35,000 over the course of 3 years after receiving a letter from Mega Millions that told her she had won $5.5 million and a Mercedes-Benz. And the woman said the scammer, with whom she spoke on the phone daily for several years, initially requested $9,500 in fees, but more requests for money followed. And so she paid the fees by wire transfer and gift cards. She also cashed a counterfeit cashier's check sent by the scammers, which resulted in criminal charges against her. And later, this woman acted as a money mule on several occasions, and fraud victims subsequently then began contacting her directly, but she honestly believed all of these tasks were necessary for her to receive her winnings. And when she started to complain to the scammer that she had been speaking to, he then started to threaten her and her son. But it's been found that these sweepstakes and lottery frauds frequently originate from the country of Jamaica. It's estimated to be a $500 million to $1 billion industry there. The U.S. and Jamaica have partnered in an international law enforcement effort known as Project Jolt that has resulted in numerous prosecutions. But unfortunately, these scams are still extremely rampant in targeting senior citizens and lucrative in Jamaica.
Yeah, well, that story is just shocking to hear.
It's heartbreaking.
It is.
It really is.
Now, what are the best ways to tell a fake sweepstakes and lottery offer from a real one?
True lotteries or sweepstakes don't ask for money. If someone wants money for taxes, themselves, or a third party, they're most likely crooks. You also have to enter to win. To win a lottery, you have to buy a lottery ticket. To win a sweepstakes or a prize, you have to be entered first. If you can't remember doing so, that's a red flag. If you've entered to win, make sure you call the sweepstakes company directly to see if you actually won. So Publishers Clearing House does not call people in advance to tell them that they've won. So if you receive a phone call stating otherwise, it's 100% a scam. You can check to see if you won a lottery by contacting the North American Association of State and Provincial Lotteries or the Pennsylvania Lottery directly. Make sure you conduct an internet search of the company, name, or phone number of the person who contacted you. Remember that law enforcement officials do not call and award prizes. Verify the identity of the caller and don't send money until you do. You should also talk to a trusted family member or your financial institution if you have concerns, as they may be able to help. And if you believe that you have been a victim of a sweepstakes or lottery fraud, report the scam to the Better Business Bureau and the Federal Trade Commission, along with any other organization that you use to facilitate the scam, such as Western Union, MoneyGram, Facebook, Green Dot, even the U.S. Postal Inspection Service.
Now, another scam you had mentioned as being risky for seniors was investment fraud. How do these scams target seniors?
This kind of fraud often targets older adults because of their access to greater financial resources. These scammers frequently prey on longstanding group connections, such as through religious organizations or ethnic groups where members trust each other. Even if you are a savvy investor, it's important to remember that you can still fall victim to this scam. And investment scams take many forms, but all prey on that desire to make money without much risk or initial funding. And these are often complex cons involving very detailed stories. It can sometimes take years to realize that you've even been scammed. But in the most basic version of investment cons, the scammer convinces you to invest in a project, a company, loan, or other initiative. You may even receive regular reports that the project is producing great returns. But when you try to withdraw your money, it turns out the investment never existed. Another common investment con is a pyramid scheme or a Ponzi scheme. So you buy into a company where the profit doesn't depend on the sale of the product, but on bringing in new investors. But it's mathematically impossible for these setups to continue indefinitely, and eventually the pyramid does collapse.
Now, what are some tips to avoid an investment scam?
Be very wary of buzzwords. So certain phrases should raise a red flag for an investment opportunity. Don't believe anything that's guaranteed to do well or that offers low or no risk with a high return. Pyramid schemes, even if they're not called that, require you to bring in other investors in order to recoup your initial investment. Keep in mind that the investment industry is also one that is highly regulated. So be cautious of investments that are unregistered with the SEC or other investment industry regulators. Also check licensing for the sellers. So use FINRA's broker check to check their registration status and find additional information about the people and firms who are touting these opportunities. High-pressure sales tactics are also a big warning sign. Many risky investments are sold at opportunity meetings or other high-pressure situations. A similar tactic is the use of a shill, who's a decoy, who offers a fictional success story, but's really being paid by the promoter of the plan. Some pitches leverage a shared connection, such as the same ethnicity, church, or profession. So be on the lookout for attempts that are trying to prey on that affinity. It's also important to ask yourself how you make money from this particular investment. If you find that the reward for recruiting new distributors and selling them products and training materials is more than the reward for selling products, you may be dealing with a pyramid scheme.
Now, investing in cryptocurrency stock has also been a hot topic recently, but how do these investments work?
Cryptocurrency is a resource for investing and transferring money all over the world without incurring hefty fines or government regulation. Unlike the U.S. dollar, which is a government-backed physical form of payment, cryptocurrency is all digital code. So if you are thinking about investing in the stock of companies that tout high returns associated with cryptocurrency, use caution. Do your research, only invest money you can afford to lose. Since cryptocurrency is new and largely unregulated, its price valuation is pretty volatile. And you may have even heard stories of people making thousands overnight, but the reverse is also true. People have lost large amounts of money in short periods of time. In an emerging sector like cryptocurrency, it's not unusual to see both legitimate startups and not-so-legitimate players. But these less-than-reputable new companies often make glorified claims about new cryptocurrency-related products and services, including blockchain technologies and initial coin offerings, in an effort to raise the market price of their shares. The buzz around cryptocurrency businesses enables these con artists to launch fraudulent ventures that lack transparent financial reporting. And scammers will also mimic the successful business models of legitimate companies to trick investors and steal their money. So don't be fooled by unrealistic predictions of returns, claims made through press releases, spam emails, and telemarketing calls, or those posted online or in social media threads.
Now, if you're considering a cryptocurrency investment opportunity, how can you avoid scams?
If you are contemplating a crypto-related stock investment, don't say yes to cryptocurrency stock purchases from an aggressive cold caller, even if the claims sound plausible, particularly if the recommended stocks are very low priced. Don't feel guilty about hanging up. Not answering at all or putting down the phone are generally the best and safest responses to a cold caller or anyone aggressively pitching low-priced stocks or other investment opportunities. Be suspicious of anyone who makes guarantees that an investment will perform a certain way, and be wary of stocks with huge spikes in prices. This could signal potential manipulation or fraud. Check the SEC's EDGAR database to find out whether the company files with the Securities and Exchange Commission. But remember, the fact that a company has registered its securities or files reports with the SEC doesn't mean that the company will be a good investment in general or the right investment for you. Know where the stock trades and pay attention to any cautions associated with a stock as well. Most stock pump and dump schemes tend to be quoted on an over-the-counter quotation platform like the OTC Markets, which provides icons to warn investors of concerns with a given company. So these include a stop sign to indicate the company can't or won't provide important information to regulators, exchanges, or the OTC Markets. Also, a skull and crossbones to warn that the security company or person who controls the company might be involved in a spam campaign, questionable marketing, regulatory action, or more. So you definitely want to check that out before proceeding.
Now, another scam discussed as being particularly risky to seniors involves vacation timeshare scams. Now, how do these work and what should someone do if they are considering purchasing a timeshare to avoid scams?
Buying a vacation home can be out of reach for a lot of people, but buying a piece of a vacation home can be more feasible. And that's really the idea behind timeshares, that you pay a fraction of the cost for a property and have access to it for a set amount of time each year. As the industry has grown, it has expanded to include opportunities to trade your timeshare for time in another property. So you can pick a different location for your vacation every year. Though there are many ethical timeshare companies out there, every industry also has its share of bad actors. So if you are interested in buying a timeshare, keep in mind that you may save thousands buying on the resale market. Be fully aware of what you're purchasing, from whom you are buying, to ensure a smooth transaction. And make sure you have in writing the terms of the sale, what each side is responsible for paying at closing, and that you read the contract carefully. Really take the time to think about your decision. Ask the salesperson to send you written information about your possible purchase, including a contract that you can review. There's nothing that says you have to sign the first thing that is shown to you. Let the deal breathe before you figure out if it's right for you. Also, do your research. Compare travel savings with online travel services or local travel agents, and check out the company with BDV.org. Keep in mind, if you do sign a contract for a timeshare or travel club, you typically have a very short window to cancel the contract if you don't like what you purchased. Don't wait until you get back from your trip to take a second look at the contract and research the company you're dealing with, or it may be too late. And always pay with a credit card so you can challenge the charge should something go wrong with a purchase.
Now, romance scams were the last scam you mentioned, and these were identified as the riskiest scams for people ages 55 through 64. How are seniors being impacted by these scams?
Throughout the pandemic, BBB has recognized that more people, especially seniors, have been turning to online dating or even finding love on social media. But scammers are also attempting to take advantage of people's emotions in these situations. And older adults who are widowed or divorced are frequent targets of these romance scams. Last year, losses from this scam category totaled $304 million. But unfortunately, they likely should be much higher because a lot of victims are really hesitant to report being taken advantage of just out of embarrassment. But these scams are particularly devastating financially and emotionally to victims who rarely get their money back. Most romance scams do start with fake profiles on online dating sites created by scammers who steal photos and descriptions from real accounts or elsewhere. Scammers sometimes claim to be in the military or working overseas to explain why they can't meet you in person. Over a short period of time, the scammer builds a fake relationship, exchanging photos, romantic messages, even talking on the phone or through a webcam. Catfishers, as they're referred to, create these compelling backstories and full-fledged identities, but then trick people into falling for someone who doesn't even exist. This is often the first step in a phishing scam to steal personal information, or a romance scam to steal people out of money. Just when the relationship seems to be getting serious, this person claims to maybe have a health issue or a family emergency or wants to plan a visit. No matter the story, the request is the same. They need money, but after that money is initially sent, there's then another request and then another. Once the money stops, the scammer stops communicating altogether.
Are there any other new scams that are currently targeting seniors that BBB wants to warn about?
Yes. So if you are on Medicare, watch out for a resurgence of this new con where scammers are claiming to offer free genetic testing kits that allegedly screen for heart conditions or cancer. It's really just a ruse to steal your Medicare information for fraudulent billing and or identity theft, though. What's happening is seniors are receiving phone calls from someone claiming to be from Medicare or an official-sounding organization, such as the Cardiac Test Center, and they're being told that they're being sent a free genetic testing kit. All you have to do is agree to receive a kit in the mail, swab your cheek, and return the vial. And the test will tell you if you have a genetic predisposition to heart disease, cancer, or another common condition. They also claim that this test is fully covered by Medicare. But before they can mail your kit, they need your Medicare ID number and a lot of personal information. So targets of the scam have reported being asked extensive questions about their health, such as their family medical history and any previous diagnoses of illnesses and disease. As always, there are several variations of this con. Previous versions involved scammers going door-to-door or setting up tables at health fairs. Con artists may even provide gift cards or other giveaways in exchange for your participation. While genetic testing is a legitimate service, and some victims of the scam version do actually receive a genetic testing kit, those scammers are trying to commit fraud by billing Medicare for unnecessary tests. And for victims, this can lead to medical identity theft, even in some instances, a bill for thousands of dollars. So make sure you always consult with whoever your primary care physician or doctor is before agreeing to any such supposed free medical testing.
Now, what are some other ways for seniors to protect themselves from Medicare fraud?
Really be wary of any lab tests that are being conducted or offered at senior centers, health fairs, or even at your home if someone's soliciting door-to-door. Be suspicious of anyone claiming that genetic tests and cancer screenings are free or are being covered by Medicare. If a product or test is truly free, you won't have to provide your Medicare number. If anyone other than your physician's office requests your Medicare information, don't provide it and don't automatically trust a name or a phone number that comes across your caller ID either. Con artists often use these really official sounding names or appear to be calling from a government agency or related area code. Caller ID spoofing is common with this too. So you really have to evaluate who you're talking to on the phone, hang up and contact them directly. So Medicare will never call you to confirm your personal information, your Medicare number, or even ask questions about your personal health. And certainly, if you think that you are a potential victim of Medicare fraud, make sure you report it. Go to Medicare.gov to get started and also report it to BDD Scam Tracker, BDD.org.
Now, any tips or final thoughts as we wrap up today's show?
Well, overall, even though nobody is immune to scams, there are many specific kinds of fraud that continue to target our senior population. Especially the ones we talked about today. And it's so important to be educated in order to make informed decisions. Do your research ahead of time. Check with a Better Business Bureau before dealing with a company or a situation that you're not familiar with. Don't give in to those high pressure or emotional sales tactics. And really just try to employ common sense when making important decisions. Don't be afraid to ask questions and go with your gut instinct if something seems suspicious or questionable. Report scams to Scam Tracker, BDD.org. Give us a call, 877-267-5222.
You've been listening to the Better Business Bureau show featuring Caitlin Driscoll, Public Relations Director, Better Business Bureau of Western PA. Caitlin, thanks for the great information as always, and we'll talk again in October.
Yes, talk to you in October. Thank you again.